Everything that I, oh yes, Lord, I know. Know somebody's listening. Yes, Lord, and hears it. Oh Lord, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody answers every secret prayer that I pray. Oh Lord, yes, I know. Somebody loves me. Yes, and never will. I know that it's Jesus, the Savior. Calvary, and He is everything that I say. Oh, Lord, yes, I know. Somebody's, yes, Lord, and He is everything I say. Oh, Lord, I know. Somebody answers every prayer that I. Oh Lord, yes I know. Somebody loves me. Yes Lord, and never turn me away. I believe that it's Jesus. Oh Lord, and He hears everything that I say. I know somebody's listening. And hears everything that I say. I know somebody answers. Every prayer that you don't even know about that I pray. And I know somebody loves me. And He loved me so much, He'll never turn me away. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior on Mount Calvary. Yeah, He hears everything that I say. Sometimes it's just good to say, I know somebody hears me. Yeah, we can't, sometimes we don't know who's listening, but I always know that God hears me. I don't really care if you hear me. God hears me. Whoever wrote that song, they wrote it well. Because He said those things that I secretly pray. You know the prayers that you have that's in your closet at night? The ones where you got to get up and leave your wife in the bed? Go to a private place and fall flat on your face and say, God, come help me. I know He's there. Y'all going to make me change my sermon. I know God is there. He's a mighty, mighty good God. He always looks out for His children. He always looks out for His children. Yeah. Y'all just going to have to bear with me today. I didn't even know I was emotional till I got here. But God takes care of His children. I am going to change my sermon. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, the 70th chapter. I don't have any notes, but I know that the Bible is good. My cousin last week spoke on this passage, and he blessed me. And I figure it might bless you. Turn your books to Psalms, the 70th chapter. Verse 1, it says, hurry, God, to deliver me. Hurry, Lord, to help me. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and humiliated. Let them fall back and be disgraced. These people who have delighted in my downfall, let those who say, aha, stop because of their shameful behavior. But let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your saving help say again and again, God is great. But me, I'm poor and needy. Hurry to me, God. You are my helper and my deliverer. Oh, Lord, don't delay. The Bible in verse 70 says, hurry, God, to deliver me. From this passage of scripture, I'd just like to offer you up the title, I Need You Now. Sometimes you walk in and you talk to God and you have time to give an eloquent prayer. You have time to say these and thous. You have time to give God qualifying statements like, oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Sometimes you can sit down and you can rest and you can call God all the wonderful things that he is and he'll listen. But every now and then, you just have to call God and say, God, come here now. Hurry up and come help me. And I want you to know that in those times, God hears you just like he did if you took 20 minutes to pray. Because God knows your heart. God knows what you need. He knows how to deliver you regardless of your circumstance. Sometimes you just got to say, God, come here. And I want you to understand that it's nothing wrong at all with asking God to come and to come right now. Some of us don't ask God what we need to ask him for many of reasons. Sometimes we don't know what to ask. Sometimes we don't ask God what we need to ask him because we are afraid that if we ask him in our urgent state that we are being disrespectful. You know, it's not disrespectful to just call out to God and say, Lord, I need you now. Anybody ever needed God right away? Yeah, sometimes we don't have time to do all of the pretty stuff in prayer. You just got to ask God. You say, God, I need you right now. And a God will come right then. And Christians can look and be glad and can rest with peace in their hearts because they know when they call on God, he'll show up. There are songs that we have all throughout our life. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. When I was about 15 years ago, a friend of mine was going through some difficulties, and he came to me and he said, Darwin, when I'm struggling, and that night I couldn't sleep, and I wrote a song. And the song was, I Need You Now. I need you now, step in my life today. I need you now to wash my sins away. I need you now, dear Lord. I need you now. I can't wait another minute. I need you now. Anybody ever needed God right now? Well, see, I like David because David is a man that the Bible says was a man after God's own heart. And I believe the reason why David is considered a man after God's own heart is not because David lived perfectly, but it was because David was aware of his frailties. David understood how weak he was. And David understood when he had weakness that there was only one person or one thing that he can call, which is Jesus. We knew that, which is God. David knew that he was a wicked man. David knew that he was filled with sin. But David also knew that even him as in his wicked state could call on God and God would show up. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 12 talks about Paul, and he says Paul has a thorn in his flesh. And he says Paul asked three times to remove the thorn in his flesh. And each time he asked to remove the thorn, God said, my grace is enough. And then Paul really got the message after a while. He said, I'm made perfect in my weakness because when I am strong, when I'm weak, then I am strong. And he says that because he realizes that when he recognizes his weakness, that God is able to do just what God has always done will just protect us. You know, I love that he says, thy power is made perfect. You know, because that statement itself has emphasis on top of emphasis. What do you mean? God is perfect. God's power is always perfect. So when Paul says, thy power is made perfect in my weakness, he's really saying, God, a perfect God who has perfect power, is at his best when I am weak. How can God's power be anything but perfect? So it was no need for Paul to say that power is perfect or is perfected. He didn't need to say that because God already is perfect. His power already is perfect. So what he says already, his power is already everything that we need. So what Paul is doing, he's putting additional emphasis on God's power because he's saying your perfect power is even more perfect when I am weak. That's like an exclamation point on an exclamation point. Paul is just saying, Lord, when I'm weak, I can call on you. Let's look at the text. Let's look at the text. The Bible says, hurry, God, to deliver me. Lord, help me. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and humiliated. I like this prayer. He says, Lord, they're coming after me. And Lord, I can't fight them by myself. But I know if you come to help, I'll be okay. And then he also says, and when you come, let those people who come after me be ashamed and humiliated. He said, let them fall back and be disgraced. Who? Those people who delight in my downfall. Y'all, this is probably a prayer that Christians should pray every morning. Because on a daily basis, somebody is out to get you. They are working as agents of the devil, but they manifest themselves in human beings. Sometimes it's your boss. Sometimes it's your loved ones. Sometimes it's a stranger. Sometimes it's people in your own household that will come after you and that you will need help with dealing with. But David says, Lord, let those people who come after me, let them fall back and be disgraced. And what I love about it is he then qualifies his statements. He says, let those who say, aha, stop because of their shameful behavior. What is he actually saying there? He's saying there are some people who are working so hard to get me and they think they have me backed in the corner. They think they have you, God, backed in a corner because I'm your servant. And they are sitting there on their thrones, or they're sitting there making these evil plans, and they are saying, aha, I got it. Y'all, let me tell you, there are some people who are plotting against you, and they're sitting there smiling, thinking to themselves, aha, I got you. And what David is doing, David is acknowledging them. He says, let those people who think they got me, who think I don't still have power in you, stop because of their shameful behavior. And then he says, but let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your saving help say again, God is great. I love this passage of scripture because David doesn't just say, let those people who want to come after me get rid of them. But he's saying there might be some of them that want to come after me, and then they'll see your power. And when those people see your power, let them rejoice. Not in rejoicing in me, Lord, but let them rejoice in you. Why? Because you are great. But then if you go back to him, he says, Lord, I need you, verse 1, to do all of these things, but I need you to do them now. I love that boy. Sometimes I just have to ask the Lord to come and help me now. I'll give you a perfect example. August 7th was the first day of school. I worked hard all of July. My family probably didn't even see me as much as they would have liked to because we worked some long days in July. We worked with teachers, had a teacher retreat. We worked with administrators. We had a great plan. The plan was ready to be put in place. We did all the work that we need to do. And I was feeling pretty confident about starting the school year. And then the bus pulled up. Yeah, the bus pulled up. And when the bus pulled up, I saw kids peeking out the window. I saw kids saying, "Who is that right there in that suit?" They didn't know who the new principal was. And I started to think about it and I said, man, we done worked hard over these last couple months putting this thing together. But here come the kids. And I realized that regardless of what plans I put in place, that the kids could change all of that. And that first kid got to stepping off the bus. And before his foot could hit the ground, I said, "Lord, help me now. I need you now." My plans were good. My plans were decent. My people were ready. But what I wanted God to know is, forget the plans. You come and help me today. Yeah, I tell you another time. We were pregnant and we had never had any children before. And 9 months we had been praying for this little girl named Darren. And we got there, and when we got to the hospital, We got to the hospital. The doctor told my wife. He said, "You're not going to be able to have a natural birth. The baby is the elbow, the arm, the shoulder is coming out first. So we're gonna have to have a cesarean." And my wife got a little upset. She started crying, and I walked up to her and I said, "Well, here we go." And she said, yeah, here we go. And she's crying. I said, "Well, look, one thing is the same. The same God who was in charge when we got here is the same God who's in charge now. And when we leave and take this baby home, it's the same God who's going to sustain us then." And I told my wife that. And as I was telling her that, I was trying to talk myself into it too. And I felt kind of good. I said, "Okay, Darwin, you said the right thing to your wife." She stopped crying. We walked into the surgery, and I was feeling all right. And then all of a sudden, they had that surgery, and they picked up this little baby girl, and they handed her to me. And before the nurse could hand her to me, I asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, I need you now." Because I had planned for this child. We had a nice, beautiful room. We had put a bed together. We had a clean house. We had diapers. We had all of those things, but I had no idea how to be a father. And then about 3 or 4 days later, it got worse. They told me and my wife we can go home. And see, we were in a comfort zone because every time the baby cried, the nurse came. If we needed a little help, we asked the nurse. But then we got into our little car, just the three of us. And I put the car in reverse, and I started to go, and I started to get emotional. Because I said, "Ain't nobody left but me and Kayla." And I remember saying to God, "God, we need you now. Every now and then, you will be faced with some situations where you just got to say, I need you now." 2 or 3 weeks ago, I told you we got to Chicago at 2 o'clock. My grandmother called it. 2:30. We had been on the road since 5 o'clock. We had driven there 8.5 hours because it was right outside of Chicago. But when we heard my grandmother's voice, we knew it wasn't looking too good. And we looked and we said, "All right, well, the wedding starts in 2 hours. And then we looked at my mother. She was really upset. And we said, "No, she ain't going to make it through this wedding. We might as well turn on and go on back home." And I remember thinking to myself, we are exhausted. We just drove 8 hours and 38 minutes. And we got to drive 8 hours and 38 minutes back. And I remember saying to myself, I don't know what in the world we getting ready to do. And I looked to my mama. She was sad. And I looked to my daddy. He was down. And I looked and I said, well, my parents in their 60s. They probably ain't going to have enough energy to drive home. Then I thought to myself, neither do I. And I just said a simple prayer. Lord, I need you now. And don't you know God got that car to moving? And we pulled back up in here. Eyes never got tired. Drove right on back into Nashville to find everything was all right. And we got there. My uncle was still there. My mother was able to pray with him and hold his hand. And I am convinced the reason why we were able to overcome is because we asked God to come. Not tomorrow, not next week, not 10 minutes from now. Come right now. We just got to ask the Lord to come. And he's responsive. He'll help us. He'll help us. And then those people who come after us will see God. And some of them will turn away from their evil doings. And David says, and those people who begin to love you, let them rejoice and say, God is great. Then verse 5, I love it. He says, but me, God, you great. But me, I'm poor and I'm needy. Hurry to me, God. You are my helper and my deliverer. Oh, Lord, don't delay. Sometimes we just got to ask God, Lord, don't delay. I'm going to walk in this hospital. I don't know what they're going to say to me. I know I got a lump here or there. I know I don't have no energy. I know my mama's sick or my brother's sick. I know, you know, I'm not feeling well. I know my body's hot. I know I can't eat. I know all the things that's supposed to be working with my body not working right. And Lord, I'm walking in here and I don't know what these doctors going to say. And Lord, I just need you to know I need you now. I don't know what my bank account going to look like. I know I counted my bills, and I know I counted my check. And I know that my bills are a little bit more than my check. I know that I'm going to run out of money before I run out of month. And Lord, I don't know what you plan on doing with me, but I need you to come right now. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get to work today. I don't got but a little bit of gas, and even if I make it to work, Lord knows I ain't going to be able to make it home. And I just got to figure out how I'm going to get there. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But I know if I call on you, you'll fix it. There's just things that happen in our life. Lord, my mama died. Lord, my sister died. Lord, my uncle, my family sick. And Lord, I need some help. But I don't want you to wait to help me. I need you right now. Lord, I know joy comes in the morning. But Lord, I need you to be with me at night. I need you right now. I can't wait not another minute. I need you now. All that you can say that prayer with confidence. Man, you better believe that when you say it, God will sure enough show up. He doesn't have any reason to wait. God will give you exactly what you need when you need it. Sometimes we get what we need and we don't know that God gave it. But if you wanted to say, Lord, I don't know how I made it through the night. Stop wondering how. God did it. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this week. Stop wondering how. God did it. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with my son, but you keep on helping him get up every morning. Stop wondering. God did it. He showed up. Went at right on time, right when you needed him, and he came and blessed you. Sometimes you just got to say, I need you now, Lord. And he's willing and able to come. That wasn't what I was preaching today, but that was on my heart. I probably didn't have hermeneutics correct. I didn't give you 3 points and not a conclusion, but I hope I encouraged you. to call on the right name. God is good. There's a song that we like to sing. It says, my God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, and hide me from the rain. You know what I love about that song? God can move mountains, keep you in the valley, and hide you from the rain all at the same time. See, that doesn't make sense. If God moves the mountain, you shouldn't be in the valley. Yeah, if God moves the mountain, why is there? See, he's able to move the mountains, keep you in the valley, and hide you from the rain all at the same time. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. He gives me strength when I'm weakened. Forever he will reign. My God is awesome. He's the Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Praise his holy name. Then the chorus says, my God is awesome. Then he said, he is mighty. He's a deliverer. He's a protector. He's a provider. He's a healer. Man, that's a good thing to have nearby. God is all of those things. If I knew that I could call on one of you and you could give me all those things, I wouldn't ask you to come in a few minutes from now. I ask you to come right now. So you know that God is all of those things and more. Call his name. He'll show up. He'll help you. He'll provide. How does he do it? Because he's God. How does he connect with us? Through Jesus. How did Jesus get all that power? He went to the cross and he died on the cross. But he didn't stay dead. Oh, ain't you glad Jesus didn't stay dead? Yeah, this stuff that they be talking about don't bother me too much because Jesus is still alive. He got up from the cross 3 days later, and he got up with everything that we needed to be able to make it and more. I'm so glad that my God is alive. Yeah, I don't serve a dead God. Some people serve dead folks. I don't serve a dead God. My God is always up. When I wake up, he's up. When I go to bed, he's up. He watches over me. Sometimes I just can't help but shout. Don't y'all know? Sometimes I just can't help but shout. I wake up in the morning, I look at my wife, I say, woo! I walk upstairs, look at my daughter, my son, I say, yes, Lord. I walk in there, that garage, start a car, it start running. I get up, my legs start working, I do all those things, and before you know it, I just like to shout. I don't know where y'all, what kind of God you serve. When Marcus Mariota throw a touchdown, I shout, and I don't even like the Titans. So when God does what he does for me, I just can't help but shout. I know some of y'all afraid of shouting, it's okay, but you better shout sometimes. If you ain't shouted yet, that means God ain't brought you to your shout moment. But God will bring you through, and when he brings you through, he brings you better than you were before. I look at all of us in here, and I see your souls. I see the things that you've gone through. And the fact is that you've gone through them. And some of the things you are continuing to go through right now. But God is keeping you. I think about Arcento and his family who lost their mother just a month ago. God is keeping them. Think about Antonio coming back and being a part of the body. Getting connected with the family. God is good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think about the things that we've gone through. I look at Danielle and I see she got a little baby boy. That's a miracle, y'all. God is good. I look at Brother Proud and know what he went through a few months ago, and he told me just a few days ago he's 51% better than he was last month. God is good. Sometimes you just got to call him and say, God, I need you now. And he'll show up. Stand up to your feet. Stand up to your feet. I know God will do it for you. He's already done it. That's the good thing. Don't worry about the battle. It's already won. I know you might feel like you're getting hit. It's okay, you'll get hit, but just know you're going to win. The other day I was watching a basketball game, and I was watching Golden State play Cleveland. And all the reason why I was watching this is because my son likes to watch them. And it was recorded. So I already knew what was going on. And LeBron James was playing, and he dribbled the ball, and he got ready to take a shot. He couldn't shoot it, and he threw it off the backboard. And he caught it, and he dunked it, and the crowd went wild. And I was thinking to myself, oh, he's still going to lose. Yeah, I was thinking he's still going to lose. And it didn't even matter to me what he did, because I said, oh, he's going to lose this game. And the reason why I knew he was going to lose the game, because I'd already seen it. I already watched it. It was recorded. I knew how it was going to end. So it didn't matter if LeBron James had 15 points or 50 points. I knew he was going to lose. Why did I bring that up? See, somebody hitting you right now, and you worried about it. And you should be looking at him saying, I don't care what you do. I know you're going to lose. I already saw this game played out. God already went to the cross for me. He already promised me victory. So it don't matter if you got 2 hits on me, 15 hits on me, 50 hits on me. You still going down. This game already been recorded. I'm just watching him doing play black. God told me I was going to win. Yeah, because he's awesome. Come on down. Come on down now. You don't even start singing. If you just need some encouragement, you don't do, just come down and let us pray for you. Pray for you because God, you know, God wants to help you. Don't wait till you get in your car and start saying, well, I sure wish I had said something. Don't wait till you get home and say, oh, I sure wish I had asked the church to pray for my son or my brother or my cousin or my aunt. Do it right now. And you know the thing about it is we're not going to wait to pray for you. We're going to pray right now. And in our prayer, we're going to ask God to show up right now. And guess what? He going to show up right now. I need you, Lord, and I need you now. All to Jesus.